sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this Wednesday. No, Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
This week is all wacky. It's wacky because of Thanksgiving, you know. I already kind of feel like it's almost Friday. Anyway, it's the 23rd.
Taco Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know. It's I'm all thrown off. Anyway, welcome into Morning Invest on this Taco Tuesday, November 23rd. Coming up on the show, we're seeing a surge in COVID cases and new lockdowns are being talked about and some already being implemented. We'll tell you where that's happening. And 15 states in the United States right now where we've got hospital beds at full capacity. So not good news as we're heading into the holidays.
And the Biden administration is going to address inflation just before the holiday. And the United States released what they're calling emergency stores of oil. I didn't know they had that, but now. Yeah.
Strategic reserves. So yes. Stock up on your oil. And we're going to tell you a story about Starbucks this morning. If you're a Starbucks fan like I am, you're not going to be happy about this. David, who did you go get your Starbucks this morning?
No, I did not. I haven't yet, and I don't know
you
that I will
go after
now.
The show, right?
Yeah. Well, you may have to think about it, so we'll tell you about your Starbucks. Yeah. Get it comfortable right now.
And are more Americans choosing not to have children? I'm going to tell you what happens if you don't. You don't have a sick kid at home like we do today. So I'm on mommy watch. I'll stay for as long as I can, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, grandma's back now.
So. Grandma's back, yeah, but we got one with a stomach bug, and I've gotten tagged 3 times, but I'm showered up and I'm ready to go. Let's start the show.
Yeah, yummy. Let's get uncomfortable.
That's not it.
I moved some things around. Shoot.
You know, when you first become a parent, you kind of apologize a lot, like, oh, I'm sorry my kid's sick. I'm sorry you hear that in the background. But I feel like the pandemic has made it so nobody has to apologize anymore for being a parent or having a family. And also, it's just the fact that I've been a mom now for 11 and a half years, and if my kids need me, I'm going to go. Sorry. Yeah. You see from that shot that I'm wearing sweatpants, but right. I'm here on the show.
From the waist up, she's looking fine. It's sweatpants.
I'm even in my...
I'm actually wearing pants today, which is different.
But we got one home. She's got a fever. She's got a stomach bug.
And I feel like you don't need to apologize. Like, you know, I see now...
I absolutely am not.
No, you're not apologizing. I see during, like, now I've been watching, you know, you see the news over the past year and a half, where remember it was a whole meme in the UK where that guy was on camera and his kid came into into his office while he was on that Zoom call.
That guy was in Asia and he was streaming into the BBC. And that was like, oh, so
and he's
funny.
Like smacking his kid, you know, in the head, like, get out of here. And the wife comes in and is like, oh, I'm sorry. And she like runs out with a kid. Like, come on, give me a break. Nowadays, I've seen that happen multiple times.
That just happened.
Kids walk in and the anchors are so much better about it now. They're like, oh, I see Johnny over there. And, you know, have him wave to the camera. It's like, you know, you don't have to make it seem like it's such an imposition.
It would have been better for you to just put her on his lap and just, you know.
Right. Like, oh, come here. Yeah, here's my little one, you know. And just instead he's like, oh, my God. Whack.
It's incredibly stressful. Whack. I mean, get I don't think we should, all of us at one time, have an overreaction to our child. But there was the one to the Spanish anchor that had his mistress walk naked in the background from the shower to the bedroom. Did you see that one? That live hasn't happened here yet.
Yeah, like, hey, honey, I saw your live shot today. I was tuning in to see your performance, and I noticed there was a woman naked in your live shot that walked behind you. Like, that was just the maid. They're very different.
Chris Evans, you can come out of the cabinet.
They're very different here in Spain. They like to clean the rooms while they're naked. It's not a big deal. I want to go to Spain.
Well, you don't have
holidays.
To worry about that because they couldn't walk through all those wires. So.
Oh my God, I know. It's been my mission. I've really wanted to clean this place up and get this whole studio. I mean, this whole studio needs a total refresh right now. I mean, it's not happening.
I woke up here like this.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing this.
I'm not seeing this right now.
Well, who knows if we're going to go back to the time when we all have to Zoom into meetings again.
Yeah.
Because lockdowns are a-coming. They have already instated a full lockdown in Austria. Germany now is locking down once again. They're saying that the Delta virus is raging through the nation. And the U.S. State Department has now said that they are issuing do not travel warnings for Germany, Austria, and surrounding nations. So who knows? How far back are we going?
Well, 15 states right now also reporting at capacity for hospital beds. The state of Michigan is now saying masks everywhere. You got to wear masks because they are going crazy in the state of Michigan. A major concern, of course, is the Delta variant at the top of the list right now. And if you look at the transmissibility of this, it's up 115% is more transmissible than the other version of COVID. And this isn't even the first one that they're looking at. They are looking at multiple other variants, the gamma variant, the beta variant, the ypsilon variant. I haven't even heard of this one yet. The iota variant. But the main one that we should, you know, that everyone's focused on, of course, is the Delta variant. And right now, boosters are the big push from Dr. Fauci and others, saying that, yes, the vaccine strength,
potency
dies over time. So he actually admitted that this weekend, that it does die over time. And he had this to say, though, about now everyone should go out and get boosters because that's going to be the answer to our problems.
Booster shot.
Absolutely, Dana. Let's make it clear. You know, when there's lack of clarity, people get confused. They're not sure what to do. If you are 18...
Oh, really? So... I mean, that's like the pot calling the kettle black, but okay. But yeah, thank you for the clarity now, Dr. Fauci.
Or older, and you've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated with the Moderna or the Pfizer mRNA 6 months or more ago, get a booster. If it's J&J and it's 2 months ago or more, get a booster. I don't think we should get hung up on should, may. Just go out and get boosted. We know they're safe and we know they're highly effective and bringing very, very high up the optimization of your protection. So just go ahead and get boosted. Now's the time to do it. As we're getting into the holiday season, you want to be fully protected in the sense of getting optimal. I mean, the vaccines themselves clearly are still highly effective, but you want to make sure the durability of that protection is longer, and that's the reason why you get boosted, because we know no vaccine lasts forever, so the protection starts to wane a bit. And that's what the boost is all about. Bottom line, Dana, get boosted.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bottom line, get boosted.
Well, there's a...
You know, just yesterday we passed the marker where there were more people in the United States who died of COVID in 2021 than died of COVID in 2020.
So now, this year now has been worse in a yes. year when we have vaccines.
Well, yes. Dr. Robert Malone, who is he's a virologist. I mean, he's a guy that did the technology for the mRNA vaccines. He said that, like, if you try to vaccinate in an active pandemic, you will just create variant after variant after variant. And he's been predicting this since the very beginning. And we're seeing it. These variants aren't going to stop.
So beta variant, gamma variant, ypsilon variant, iota variant.
No, the variants are a reaction.
Mu variant.
They will mutate based on how they can survive, right? Mm-hmm. And so if there's a vaccine there, then it's like, oh, it's a living and breathing thing. How do I get around that?
Yeah, as you mentioned, Austria now under lockdown. This is how it played out this morning. It's official.
Now, Austria has returned to a full national lockdown because of its rising number of coronavirus infections. Austrians have been told to work from home and non-essential shops have been closed. At the same time, protests against new restrictions have been growing in several European countries, especially in the Netherlands and in Belgium. Our Europe editor, Katja Adler, has the latest.
COVID concerns are spreading across Europe. Spiraling case numbers are spooking some. Others, like this massive crowd in Vienna, objects to COVID restrictions being reintroduced.
And you're going to have, I mean, look what happened in Germany. So Angela Merkel, former chancellor, comes out and says that, I mean, in pretty stark terms, she said that this is the worst yet for Germany. Most Germans will be vaccinated, cured, or dead by the end of the winter, the health minister reports. I mean, and to hear him say this, he says, here, I'm going to tell you straight. This is what he said. He said, you're either going to get vaccinated, you're going to be cured because you've had it and you've survived, or you're going to die. Like the Germans like not mincing words about the Delta variant, and the, specifically about the Delta variant in Germany.
And, you know, we were in that area just 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Clayton showed his Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And so his vaccine certificate says one of one. And they said that will only do for another couple of months. They're thinking that people with Johnson & Johnson who were promised that one shot would be enough are now going to be required to have some second shot. And they're like, that's okay for now. Right. And I understand everyone's trying to do their best to just double up on their immunity game and protect themselves. The problem is that this is willy-nilly. It's like, did we know when these vaccines came out? There was always inklings that there may be a booster, right? But the booster is the same dosage that we've already had. And it just seems a little concerning to get this information as it's rolled out. Like maybe they should have known that when they rolled it out. These are the kind of things that give me pause.
Well, and you know, if you listen to the doctors who've said, we need 5 years of data, we need 5 years to understand this data before you can make these determinations and have these sort of international laws about these types of vaccines. So we don't have 5 years of data.
No,
we literally have months of data. And like as Art Sullivan says in the chat, you know, blaming the unvaccinated, it's the vaccinated. Look at Israel's research. 70% vaccinated are getting sick. And now Israel this morning, news out of Israel this morning, is that they are going to be starting to inoculate with vaccines the tiniest of babies, tiniest of children. Not even like just five years and older, seven years and older.
And they started the booster first.
Right.
Israel was the first to go.
Right.
On the booster. And so,
yeah, over the summer, as I was talking to friends out of Israel saying, yeah, all the talk here is about the booster, everyone, you know, getting the booster. Well, they've done that now.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're resorting to getting it as young as they can for these little kids.
And this is another issue with the fact that you can just walk into any corner, Target or CVS, and get a COVID vaccine, is that you can go and sort of collect them like on a, you know, Boy Scout patch. Like, yeah. There's no national health system that's telling you, like, hey, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, or when is it your turn, or anything like that. It's just like, oh, I think I'll just stop in and see if I can get my booster, you know.
Yeah.
That also is a bit concerning. And these stories of people who just sort of collect them. Like, let me just get one of each.
I'm going to take another one. I'm going to go get another one. Yeah.
Well, then what concerns me also is like what I was saying about that, the doctor that said that, you know, the variants are created. He said, like, eventually you're going to get a variant that you can't stop with a vaccine.
Well, and aren't we maybe even already seeing that? I mean, that's the real concern that maybe we're not even talking about here is that, you know, do we already have this problem? Like, are we already seeing that you can't stop this and no one's willing to actually come out and admit it yet?
Yes.
That's the real concern. And, you know, are we going to be, you know, going back into masks permanently? Like, that's what we're going to have in different states.
Like, what's the goal? They're not, they keep moving the goal. There's no goal. Is it COVID zero? Is it like, what is the goal, the end goal?
Well, I think the goalposts continue to change.
Right, because in China, we know that it was COVID zero, mm-hmm. right? We know that in China, it was COVID zero, and that's what they're sticking with.
Yes.
And a lot of experts say, you're never going to get there. That is never going to happen.
In New Zealand, that was also the case, that they had zero COVID for so long, and then it moved in when they started to open up a little, and now they've been in lockdown for so long that they're saying we're going to have to find a way to live our lives with some level of tolerance.
Francis in our chat, Francis Wesley Alexander says 70% of the serious cases in Israel are unvaccinated. And that's the way it is still in the United States. That is according to the data that yes, the majority of the serious cases are unvaccinated.
Well, I think that a good rule of thumb for everybody is don't wait for press conferences from Dr. Fauci and talk to your own doctor and come up with your own plan. I feel like that's the best.
Yeah, or don't listen to this guy, this random guy in a crowd in Austria.
I'm a free Austrian who wants to be free and live free in this country.
Yeah, I mean, get your, you know, go, yeah, but don't wait for press conferences.
No, yeah. Because, you know, It's just,
well, and sadly though, it's like if you do have a good relationship with your doctor and they're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't get this. Well, then there's chances that you're not going to be able to travel and stuff like that. And that's what's scary is like in America, like you guys over there, if you've had COVID, they recognize natural immunity and stuff, but they don't recognize that stuff over here. So it's a lot harder, You know, and especially if they start taking that stuff for travel, that you can't have a personal conversation with your doctor because it's all about getting vaccinated. And that's what worries me.
Yeah. And also just the sort of general nature of not being able to talk about it reasonably with one another. And I think maybe that's what Dr. Fauci is reacting to, is people are accusing him of being so like, how about you just do this? How about you just get vaccinated? How about you just take a booster, right? And it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like there's a lack of conviction or assertiveness there. And it doesn't ever feel, it. I think he's just tired of being hated.
Maybe. I don't know. But because of the, you know, the back and forth. Remember when, like, early on, he was like the hero. There was like a Fauci dolls. Remember, like, there was
there's
like
a little documentary now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a documentary.
There's
on
a
him.
Book, like a children's book about him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then, you know, like just a few weeks ago, he said, like, no, everyone should just go and enjoy your Thanksgiving. Everyone should just go enjoy your. But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I want to enjoy my Thanksgiving, but we know that being indoors increases the transmissibility of this, right? So you're going to be indoors because it's not cold out anymore. It's cold out, so everyone's inside, right? You're with grandma who might be prone to health issues, mm-hmm. right? And you might have the kids who aren't vaccinated or whomever is going to be bringing this in from their school to hanging out with grandma. So he's like, just go and have fun. Just go and be there around for Thanksgiving. And now we're saying, like, get the boosters. Well, what? Should everyone be vaccinated at the Thanksgiving table? He didn't say that.
I think he said it a couple of weeks ago. That did don't worry about Thanksgiving if you're all vaccinated.
If you're all vaccinated.
Go ahead okay. and...
Yeah. I still think that, you know, again, even if you're vaccinated, it doesn't matter.
You still can carry it.
I had it. I was vaccinated. I can certainly carry it to other people. Yes. Especially those people who are at risk. But they're just not willing to admit this. I think that's just the great hypocrisy of this whole thing. They're just not willing to come out and say that even if you have it, you may not want to get grandma sick at your Thanksgiving table because, look, these vaccines may keep you from dying at the hospital, but they also may cause issue. You know, anyway, I don't get
out. Well, it's always been this game of how maxed out is the capacity at the hospital. So I was talking to someone recently where her husband died of leukemia at the beginning of the pandemic because the hospital could no longer do transplants. And so, like, there was a group of cancer patients who supported one another, and many of them just, all their surgeries were canceled and many of them died prematurely. And so it's not just COVID that's at issue here. It's what the hospitals also cannot do that they need to do. It's not just emergency beds set aside for COVID. And in many states, we're being warned that they are at capacity in certain wards, and how does that overflow? This is the concern. So there's, yes, you should talk to your doctor, make the best decision about prioritizing your immunity to COVID, but while at the same time prioritizing your other healthcare.
Well, then there's also a lack of transparency from the beginning, so it leaves people up to wild conspiracies because nobody knows what to think because the information keeps changing, and it's like, well, we're going to do this now. Oh, nope, we're going to go back and do this now. It's like, what, you know, it just leads people's minds to wander because nobody's telling us any truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we've got more to get to here on the show today. Let's talk about this, which just crossed the wires just a few minutes before the show started, and that is President Biden trying to address, he's going to be speaking at 2 o'clock this afternoon on the economy and on inflation, on oil, but they wanted to get this announcement out before he speaks today at 2 o'clock, which is the United States is now releasing 50 million barrels of oil from the United States strategic stockpile of oil reserves. Now, to be clear, why do we have these oil reserves? It's, you know, ideas like, well, in case of a war, or it's not really in case of this situation, but it is in case of, say, the Middle East decides to stop producing oil for the United States, we get into some sort of economic war, we need to have our own strategic stockpile. But 50 million barrels is the most that we have ever released from the oil reserves. We can go back to the Gulf War. We released some under George H.W. Bush. George W. Bush, during Hurricane Katrina, released, I think, like 11 million. Barack Obama, I think, 15 million. And this is the most we've ever released, 50 million barrels to try to ease up some of these oil and gas prices.
Now, the United States saying that this is a loan, so we will use it up for now. Again, this is about the fact that there are supply issues coming out of Asia, and there are concerns that lockdowns will once again tamper demand for oil. And so we want to make sure that we're ready for these disruptions, but it is a loan. It is supposed to go back into our stores. We'll use it up for now. Boy, it would have been nice if we had been a leader in reusable energy, but we're not.
So. Right. And, you know, this comes at a time when we've been also browbeating other, you know, saying we need to, you know, stop our dependence on foreign oil. And I get it can't happen overnight, right? I get that this can't, this isn't something you can just happen overnight. But it is interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's crazy that they throw us this narrative that the pipeline was hacked and the gas prices went up. And it was because of all that. When they had these reserves and it never had to get to these prices in the first place, it's like, oh, you know what? Now that it's hitting $6 a gallon, I guess we'll pull out the reserves that we've had all along and we'll get the prices back down for the holidays, but not during a pandemic.
Right. Like, we have the opportunity at all of these different times to release this oil. I mean, that's a great point, right? So
Yeah. We're
concerned about price gouging. We're concerned about these gas stations running at the price. We saw like, what, $15 gasoline in parts of Washington, D.C. during that pipeline hack?
Yes, but there was actually disruption. David makes a good point, during the pipeline over the summer.
Right. So there was disruption.
We don't have that now.
There is no disruption. There is no disruption right now. So what's different from like Hurricane Katrina, what's different than a Gulf War when all these oil refineries are on fire because Saddam Hussein sets them on fire, is that there is no disruption. OPEC, the oil producing countries, OPEC Plus, is simply not producing the oil. So they're holding back. So it's a whole shell game, in my opinion, about what's happening. So you have OPEC and Russia basically sitting back with their arms crossed, the Middle East just saying, we're not going to produce the oil that you want, so your prices are going up. Great. So then President Biden releases the strategic oil reserves, 50 million barrels of it, and this will, for a time, and it'll take a while for these prices to come back down at the pump. There's not a direct relationship between this supply and prices at the pump. So just because President Biden flicks the switch, you're not going to see an immediate decrease. But what if OPEC just says, oh, wait a second, you're releasing 50 million barrels? Great. We will continue. We will actually lower our production even further now. Or send it to other nations. Japan coming out this morning saying they are also going to release strategic oil reserves because of what OPEC is doing. We send, just give you a frame of reference, how much money we send to Saudi Arabia and like prop up these countries, how much money, billions of dollars that we send to the Middle East and prop up these countries. And now they're just sitting back and folding their arms and telling us that they're not going to release a certain amount of oil to us. And we continue to fund them.
We fund our own oil industry here in the United States. We're funding, like, we're subsidizing these oil companies.
Right. Yeah, we pay them, BP. I mean, how many of these companies we spend billions of dollars propping up in the United States, and here most Americans are being hit hard with these gas prices. I'm just curious, in the chat, let me know the gas prices, where you are, what you've seen. But, you know, President Biden is flying out today to Nantucket after this speech. Price on the island, I looked this morning, is $4.41 in Nantucket, where he's going to be spending Thanksgiving. $4.41 a barrel. And there's stickers popping up now on these pumps that are saying, like, picture of Biden with an arrow pointing, saying this is his fault. And let's be honest, it's not. And no president really has any, you know, what's what I'm looking for?
Sway.
Yeah, I mean, these, when they're up, influence. It's not his. It's all OPEC. It has nothing to do with Biden. Yet this is going to be seized on, obviously, as an opportunity for Republicans to say, see, we should be drilling more. We should be opening up more drilling reserves. We shouldn't be pulling back.
And meanwhile,
how arbitrary are these prices? Sorry.
You go ahead, please.
I was going to say, how arbitrary are these prices anywhere? Like, where are we getting the information on how the prices fluctuate and what we're paying here and what we're paying there? How much we're subsidizing? Like, if we subsidize the oil industry, are they taking the prices down to compensate for that? Like, we don't know any of that.
Yes. I don't think that we should really ever assume the law of supply and demand is in the works with anything in our consumer economy anymore. Yeah. Period. Like, it just, everything is perverted through government intervention. Yeah. And now economists are saying that, hey, it's only these few sectors that are experiencing inflation that will probably continue into the next couple of months. For instance, oil and gas, which will affect your heating and your energy. But other products we think are pretty isolated from this. You're fine. You can continue to go shopping. You know, the last time the president came out to speak, he said, hey, I've spoken to the unions. I've decided that we're going to work longer hours. We're going to open up these shipping ports. Things are going to start flowing. And that seems to happen. But then you also see the media saying, thank you, President Biden. That all worked. And now our targets are filled in the dollar section is full of all kinds of like dollar Christmas stuff. Like it's fine now, right? And then we have these economists saying, you're fine. It's only these number of things that are being affected. We spoke at length yesterday about meat. You're okay, right? The numbers do seem to bear out that it is just these specific things. But what they're really worried about is our precious recovery, right? We must recover from the pandemic. We must prove that the economy is recovered. The economy never really suffered because we continued these government intervention programs. Wall Street did fine. It's like, hey, Wall Street's doing fine. You're doing fine.
Well, I mean, it's interesting this morning. Obviously, we had Jerome Powell yesterday re-nominated to a second term as the Fed chair. Under President Biden. And across the board, I almost ran the montage here that I was going to pull together this morning. I just didn't have time with a sick baby. But it was in economist after economist after economist saying this was a don't rock the boat moment. This is good for Wall Street. This is consistency by having Fed Chief Jerome Powell in place here. This is good for the markets. This is good for America.
Nothing fundamentally changing.
Don't worry about a thing. Yeah, this is nothing fundamentally changing. And look, they'll continue to take care of the markets. Love it. There was one economist who's like, yeah, the markets love this. This is good. And then you have a number of economists saying, hey, this idea of inflation, ignore all of this inflation hysteria. You know, if you're watching this right now and you're like, I'm paying a lot more for a lot of things right now. Well, then you're just hysterical in the minds of like the business press. Like you're just hysterical. Ignore the hysterical people out there who are seeing that these prices are affecting them. Don't worry about it. And you have all these economists and members of the media that are in Wall Street folks that are just saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. Don't even worry about it. You're fine.
So they keep telling us, no, it's okay. We're handling it, right? As if, and it does feel very much like a press move. Like, hey, the president spoke to the unions last time. He handled it. It's all good now. We can get our stuff from China. Now the president's releasing oil. It's all good now. Right. We're okay. And you don't feel the effects of inflation, you don't.
Yeah, don't. Just ignore this. You are fine. You are fine. Nothing to see here. You're all fine. Everyone in the chat right now, everyone who's watching the show, just don't, like when you see that you're paying twice as much for your food, you're fine.
Just shut up and eat it.
Yeah. Just shut up.
But again, this affects how many people in our chat who are on fixed income who are going to see this price increase in or their this sort of raise, if you will, in their Social Security payments starting in just a number of weeks in January. That's all wiped out with the cost of living inflation. And so, you know, I see a lot of journalists on Twitter saying, shut up to you, inflation people, like stop yelling inflation. Everybody's fine. It's fine.
Who are these
but
idiots?
That's fine for those of us who still are earning, right? Who have earning power. But again, anyone who's living on fixed income or disability, they're not quite as fine. It is not, it's just, this is something I struggle with every day is like, I should not speak for other people. I only want to come here and speak about the news from what I know and feel and read and analyze, but none of us should speak for each other.
Right. Yeah. No one understands. No one knows another person's financial situation, right? I don't know what you spend for a cup of milk. I don't know how like that new gallon of milk that's at the store is going to affect you and your family.
Yeah. Look, I'm a CEO of a family too, right? I have to make decisions every day based on what I think is good for my family and what we can afford and what I think that, you know, is right for us. But I don't think any of us should say like, well, the average American can afford this. This is a big pet peeve of mine is when someone says he can afford it or she can afford it. Because I'm always like, how do you know? I think that's the epitome of rude. None of us should say how this affects anybody else, even someone who's a high earner. It's like, you don't know. Does that person care for a sick child? Does that person have an aging parent? Does that person have medical bills because they got hit by a car without insurance? You don't know. You never know. So
yeah,
we're not speaking for anybody, but we are saying that it doesn't feel like, oh, you know, like poof, look the other way, the government's got it. That doesn't feel like the right way to be either.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question? I don't know if you know the answer to this, but like how, if oil prices are all the same, you know, and it's like federally what they pay, how can you pay $6 in California, $3 in Washington, $2 in West Virginia? Like what determines, like, is that because of the taxes in, like it's, you get that for so much a barrel, but then it's the taxes in California that take it to $6. Like how does that work? Do you know?
Yeah, a lot of that. And so I can only speak to what I know from the East Coast. And the reason that a lot of people used to in Pennsylvania and Delaware would go across the state border into New Jersey is because gas prices were so much cheaper in New Jersey. And a lot of that had to do with the taxes, and it also had to do with state regulations. So people would literally, even they would calculate, depending on gas prices, crossing like the Ben Franklin Bridge or the Betsy Ross Bridge in Philadelphia, and calculate how much the toll would cost to go across, and if it would make sense to go across and then come back to buy the gas in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because it would be significantly cheaper. And there's, you know, obviously distribution for different ports, obviously less expensive at certain ports. And then if you're in certain parts of the country, obviously that's why Hawaii, you know, to get the oil and gas to those particular spots is obviously way more expensive. So it has to do with all of that, state taxes.
Is there also a profit margin percentage that a gas station can actually add to it after that? Because like, sometimes like right across the street, you'll pay 2 cents more than you will.
Yeah. And they factor that in, of course, but then they have to deal with the price gouging laws. So they can't, they have some leeway. And that's why you have, what is it, gasbuddy.com? If you've never heard of the website, gasbuddy.com, if you go there, you can see where the gas prices are in your neck of the woods and what those look like across town. Let me see, gasbuddy.com.
I think there's an app too for that.
Yeah, there is an app here. Let me see here. Here it is.
Oh, meanwhile, you may have seen the story in the newsletter this morning about how in the UK now all new construction has to have electric vehicle charging stations.
Yeah.
Because the UK is still moving forward with their plan to only sell electric vehicles starting in 2030. So obviously you need chargers for those things. And now all new, which is awesome, right? Because people don't keep gas stations in their homes. Now, essentially, you will have something like, why are you?
This is how I can't stand these CAPTCHA things. Oh, like, geez. I literally want to leave the internet. It asked me 12 times, can you pick an image of a boat? I'm sure, trying to show people this website, gasbuddy.com. And it's like, I can't even get on the website because it wants me to pick boats. Okay, I've already picked the boat. Here's a boat. There's a boat. Next. Now it's going to ask
now
me,
it gives you
here's
more
boats. Here's another boat. Here's another boat. And then like if you, and the, my favorite are the ones where it's like really hard. There's like a half of a traffic
light. Where it's like, where's the crosswalk? And there's a tiny little stripe in one. I don't know. What is Gas Buddy?
Gas Buddy. We used to interview the guy on Gas Buddy on our show, but it would show you like where you could earn free gas back and all this other stuff. But it tracks in your neighborhood basically where you can pay the cheapest amount for gas based on your, and or if you're taking a trip, and you can do all of that. So you can use Gas Buddy to find out where any of that stuff is in your town.
Okay, look, we are in an inflection point where it is getting harder and harder to live our lives on non-sustainable fossil fuel. And I feel like the government doesn't want us to feel any pain when it comes to this inflection point, but there's pain. We're all feeling this pain. And, you know, this is inevitable. It's not going to get less painful. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to, like, be able to... Yeah. So, anyway. Okay. Why don't we tell you about our show sponsor over at Rothy's, and then we will move on.
But hold on. Before you do that, someone just said, hey, Clayton, don't use Safari, which is what I use. Use Chrome.
And so, then you don't get
and the... And then you don't get the CAPTCHAs. But that's total garbage. Because take a look at this. So here we are on Chrome, and I have to go do the same thing to prove that I'm a human being on Gas Buddy. And then
I've got to go through Chrome, and too.
pick a bus. Let's pick buses now. Great. From, is that a bus? No, no, that's a train. Okay, let me, oh, more? Here's another bus. Here's a bus. Here's a bus. Oh, here's a bus. This is ridiculous.
No, I'm going to tell you about Rothy's now. I don't want to watch you do captchas.
Okay, there we go. All right, you tell me about Rothy's. I don't want to hear about captchas.
Yeah, I do want to tell you about Rothy's.
I'm wearing my Rothy's shoes today.
Those are pretty handsome shoes.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good looking shoes.
These are super comfortable.
What is that, like a 6.5?
You can stop it.
6.5. You know what they say? No, this is it's an 11.5.
Big shoes.
Yeah. All right, tell us about Rothy's.
Okay. Rothy's are sustainable shoes. They're sustainably made shoes that you can feel good about. The original Rothy's are made of this material that Clayton's wearing, and they are made of recycled water bottles and recycled plastic. But now Rothy's has also moved into the merino wool type shoes. That's the really soft wool that is made for, it's sustainable because you can shear it off of sheep and it grows back. So it's not like it's made of something like cotton that needs to be grown. By the way, a lot of the cotton that your clothes are made of have pesticides in them as well. Merino wool does not. So they're fantastic. They're super comfortable. I have been wearing Rothy's for about 8 years now, and they last for a really long time. They like squish up really nice in your suitcase as well, and you can wash them when they get a little dirty. So what else was I going to say? Oh, you know what? They also have accessories now, purses and wallets, which are on my Christmas list as well, because a lot of it, you don't think about, like, what is the material, the plastic, you know, that's in your wallet? Not just, like, in your wallet, but what is it made of? And so now they also have these nice fashion accessories. So what else? Oh, wallets, carry bags, card cases. They have these passport folders. I've been spending a lot of time on their website for years now, so I know a lot about it. Anyway, to welcome you into the fall season and also think about what you can put under the Christmas tree, you can now head to rothys.com/invest and get $20 off your first purchase, which is a great deal. It's Rothy's, rothys.com/invest to find your favorites today. So I am this ballet flat right there. I have about three of those. I also have the pointy ones that she's folding right there. Yep, got those. Yes, this is a brand I've been, but I don't have any of these merino wool slip-ons, and I got my sights set on that. So anyhow, these are shoes you can feel good about. They're sustainable and they last, and they're really well made. So that's all I'm going to say about Rothy's, but I could keep going if you asked me to.
All right. Thanks to Rothy's, and thanks for supplying my wife with the shoes and me. I love these shoes. These are one of the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. So thanks to them for supporting the show.
I mean, it used to be kind of like a mom badge, you know, like you'd be in the play dates and be like, are those Rothy's? Oh yeah, they're Rothy's because...
No, well, way. Now I'm going to do the same thing
for a mom.
Are those, like, Rothy's? Yes.
You're trying to make the planet these better and not wear.
Oh, that feels good, that stretch.
Yeah.
Mind if I just do the rest of the show
keep
like
going.
This?
Keep going.
Yeah, let's see if I can do this.
Put it behind your head.
What if there was I had like one of those fake legs that I could just like lift up. And it does look like a fake leg, doesn't it? Like, hey, yeah. Whose leg is that?
Super
That's
Dave.
My leg. Yeah. That's my leg. All right. We got more news to get to here on the show. Let's talk about Starbucks.
Oh, I'll be back in a bit.
Yeah, I know. This is a sad story because, look, I'm a fan of Starbucks. I've been a fan. I've praised them here on the show about their health care, about the things that they do for employees. Well,
it's a chemical factory.
Get ready, because Starbucks is now going to great lengths to make sure that its stores cannot unionize and workers there cannot unionize. Specifically, let's talk about New York stores. So, management is urging baristas to reject the union at mandatory listening sessions. They're basically setting up and basically, hey, any of these stores that are holding these things, we're going to close them down. So a Starbucks barista in Hamburg, New York, whose store recently filed for a union election, was told by a manager that he could attend an earlier mandatory anti-union meeting on November 8th because he was scheduled to work early the next day. So he had to go to a mandatory Starbucks anti-union meeting. The meeting was in a nearby hotel, and he found out he was the only worker in attendance with six members of the Starbucks management. So he sat there and had to listen to his management for an hour tell him about how they shouldn't unionize. Mm-hmm. I mean, they started off by going around and saying, hey, they wanted me to vote no for the union. And then they went back and forth talking about how great all the benefits are at Starbucks. And if we vote in a union, we may not have any of those benefits. I mean, look, this is just an experience. This is just another on a long list of companies that are continuing to push anti-union rhetoric to make sure that these companies cannot unionize, that these workers can't get better wages, can't get better benefits, can't get time off. Hell, we had the Frito-Lay workers that all they wanted was a friggin' extra day off. They were working months at a time without a break so that we could all eat this processed, crappy food in the United States that's awful. It is part of that, you know, the United States has one of the worst food chains, food systems in the world. And this crappy food that these Frito-Lay workers were working their butts off during a pandemic, you know, they were being championed. The company was like, yeah, these guys, they're out there on the front lines getting COVID, producing highly processed, crappy food. And they don't get any time off. Then they actually they go on the picket lines and want to demand better wages, want to demand better working hours, and they get in trouble.
And in fact, two Starbucks stores who filed anti-union and complaints with the labor union were closed down. And then Starbucks says, actually, those were just coincidental store closures.
Oh, yeah.
We did not mean to punish these workers. And the Frito-Lay, specifically the Frito-Lay workers, they were told that they would have to work only 4 days a week, but the same amount of hours so that they were no longer paid time and a half. Instead of working the same amount of time in either 5 or 6 days. So they would be working the same amount of hours, but not getting paid extra for it, even though it was not changing. And they're saying, no, well, now we come to rely on this time and a half, and we've changed our lives around, you know, to rely on this pay and rely on this schedule. And Frito-Lay is saying, oh, we just wanted you to have extra time off. Like, we just thought garbage. You wanted that. And also, we will pay you less, right?
Total garbage. I mean, like, go ahead, David, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, so just a question here. So if Starbucks does have, you know, they pay a livable wage, they have benefits and stuff like that, like, what is the increased cost of employment to unionize? Like, is there some legitimacy to the fear of the increased cost of labor that would increase the coffee costs and everything? I mean, they're already $5, so I'm just asking, are there costs that would make it so that, like what is their profit margin right now?
I don't know what their profit margin is per cup of coffee. I'd have to dive into that. And I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, they reported increased third quarter earnings. People are right. Going to Starbucks. Down?
We would. I mean, it's like Apple doesn't even report. Like, we don't even know. Like, what is the profit per iPhone? Right. We don't know because of the components. So, what is the cost of a pump of that vanilla sugar stuff in a coffee? You know, and then they can charge you $5 for that. You go across the street to McDonald's and you pay $1 for the same cup of coffee.
But David makes a good point. Starbucks is known for actually listening to workers' needs and treating workers a bit more humane than other fast food chains.
Okay.
And so if anybody has the right to say, hey, we already negotiate directly with our workforce, we don't need this, Starbucks has earned that right.
So, but they're holding mandatory meetings telling workers, like, off hours, come over to this hotel. You're going to sit down with four members of management, executives that are flying into Buffalo, flying into this area specifically because they're worried about unionization. So you have executives getting on planes, mm-hmm. flying in specifically.
Even Howard Schultz.
Even Howard Schultz flying in, the former CEO.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, if they're that adamant about it, like, what is the cost added to having a union? Like, do they have to pay the union stewards and stuff these big fees that make it so, like, you know, we give you guys benefits and we've done this cost analysis to see what we can afford to give you guys. If the unions come in and we have to pay these fees, etc., we might not be able to pay those benefits and you won't get those from the union. You'll get better pay, but you're missing out on the other things we can give.
That very well may be the case. So it's not for us to say that a union is in everybody's best interest.
But I just find it egregious that you have the former CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, flying in to Buffalo to present a case against unionizing to its workers and incited criticism for making an analogy to the Holocaust in discussing
the
company's mission.
Why do you say that? Because, again, are we saying, like, point blank, the union is always better? Why can't he make this?
I would love.
That's like, if you're flying in the CEO, then there must be something to it. Like, he's, like, very concerned.
I would love to hear it. I mean, I would love to have this debate, right? Because you can't argue that with any of the other examples we've had of labor issues, from Amazon to Frito-Lay to hundreds of years of this experience. I mean, I would love to hear one example where it's actually been where the union was totally wrong in their demands to make sure these people had better working hours.
I don't know, Norma Ray, but I don't think we should say, you know, we don't know. We don't know what the, because, again, Starbucks is a company that has a reputation for acting in the best interests of its employees, maybe not its customers. I maintain Starbucks is a chemical factory. But again, maybe there is some sort of analysis that we can listen to.
I mean, just think about this. They spent $340 million on union avoidance consultants. Okay, so Starbucks, just think about this for a second. They spent $340 million hiring people to help them avoid unions.
Yeah,
but that means there must have been a higher cost to adding a union. You know, if they're willing to spend $300,000, then there could be like millions if they brought in a
millions.
Union.
No, they spent $340 million on hiring union avoidance consultants. By the way, who's that? Like, honey, what did you do today? I helped these. I made sure that these poor people over here couldn't get better wages. Good for you.
Okay. Again, we just. I don't know. You don't know. You don't know if it actually is in everybody's best interest across the board.
Okay. I would love to hear. I mean, I would love to hear them explain how this would hurt these workers. Like, Howard Schultz is flying in. I mean, I haven't seen the pitch. I mean,
I'd be curious to see it just because David will find it. If you're willing to spend $300 million to fight it, then there must be a higher cost than that to have it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to know. I would love to know what they're saying they're better at. I mean, I have praised Starbucks in the past. It's my point. Like, I'm saying, like, you give them health benefits. You pay higher wages in general. So they want to make sure that they're not having to work crazy hours and that their hours aren't overblown. Like, they're having to work overtime without extra pay, where they're having to work days and days in a row.
Right.
You know, I think that that's reasonable. I think that they shouldn't have to work 3 weeks in a row without a day off. Well, I'm just saying.
David's a super sleuth. Sometimes we talk about these stories and then we get texts later where he's found it.
I go down rabbit holes so that you guys don't have to.
Yeah. So we will report tomorrow what we got in our text message from David.
Sometimes I know I should have taken a left turn in Albuquerque, but.
Right. Albuquerque. All right. So let us know about your thoughts on these on this Starbucks story. All right, we're going to talk about this story. This story makes me furious.
You don't want to do your sponsor first? Okay.
No, I don't. I want to wait a second. I want to go to this story.
Why does this make you furious? That a new research from out of Pew Research Center shows that more people who are of childbearing age are choosing not to bear children. And that is a 7% increase from the last time this story was done. And this sort of way that the media is framing this is that it's just a choice. People don't want to have kids anymore, and that's the reason you're choosing not to.
No, here's the headline. Here's what makes me upset about it. This is how the media is portraying this, okay? The media is basically saying that Americans are just losing interest in having children. They're just losing interest. Nothing to see here. There's nothing to worry about. That is such a garbage headline. When I saw that, I just laughed. They're not choosing to have less kids. And, you know, I mean, yes, they're across, you know, people have choices. I don't want to have kids. When you have this during a pandemic, when you have what we've seen from wages across the board, when you've had people who literally are making a choice between paying rent or childcare, or they're not saying like they're losing interest in having kids. They can't afford to have kids. That's the headline. More and more Americans can't afford to have kids should be the headline for this article.
I don't think that that's the case.
Well,
I think that's your read on it. I think that people absolutely are choosing not to have kids.
Why?
For a lot of different reasons. One,
they've heard that kids get sick.
Kids are a pain in the butt. First of all,
they've just suddenly all across the board heard, like, we've had thousands of years of history of children, and in this year,
well,
like, people,
okay, pandemic, there is research that this generation has a very high infertility rate, more than any other generation before, and that continues to be the case. So there are more people not able to have kids.
Okay, that's not the headline.
They're losing interest. This study does show that people are saying they would not like to have kids. They don't have them now, and they don't want to become parents. Maybe, yes, because the financial burden is that they're worried they won't be able to support. But what's the government done is incentivize people to have kids through the child tax credit, right? If you think of the tax laws as a series of incentives, now the tax law incentivizes people and says, you can have kids, we will help you, we'll pay you to continue to do that. So it's not just a lack of funds, right? But also, like,
but
what is the world that you're bringing them into, right? This is something I think about all the time. We're bringing kids into a world that is not sustainable. We're bringing them into a country that is, you know, has an imploding economy. You just don't know. Like, it almost feels crazy to have kids. I don't feel like it's just across the board, like, oh, it's too hard to have kids, and so people can't afford it. I know people who have chosen not to have kids. And also, you know, there's just this. Also, I was reading this book recently. I'd have to look up the title, about how the way we talk about rearing our kids now is so all-consuming. It's like, we need to think about and obsess about every detail of their lives. And it becomes so hard to live your own life without obsessing about everything about our child's life, that it's just harder to be a parent now. Our parents did not put this pressure on themselves. Like, oh, is there chemicals in that water bottle? Like, I had a plastic lunchbox. I probably could have got cancer from licking it. But my parents didn't concern themselves with those kind of things, you know. And now we're like, go ahead.
I was going to say, I bet there's been an increase in pet parents. I bet people would rather get pets than kids because they're just so much easier.
Yeah, yeah. And people wait longer. And because when you wait, I think that there's a series of reasons to consciously make this choice. I don't think it's just like a disincentive of ability.
I mean, this to me, when you have a headline like this, people are just losing interest. And then you also choose this photo, by the way. Like, you know,
kids are a pain in the butt.
Like, this is like what child rearing is about. This is what it's about here. They don't want kids, really. They're just losing interest. They don't want kids. I think, how do you quantify that? How many people,
well,
of this
ask,
7%, so are they
literally...
Do you
not want them, or are you unable?
They surveyed 3,800 Americans, 18 to 49. Among non-parents in this cohort, 44% said it's not likely or not likely at all that they'll have kids someday. That's up 7 percentage points. Okay. Well, not likely. Well, okay, not likely is because they're just not interested or they can't afford it. I mean, there is no soul driving force, really? Okay, more than half of this group just doesn't want kids. That's if there is no driving force, then this is their answer.
I think that there are a lot of sociological reasons that make people less interested in this as over time. And because the average age of having your first child has gone up, people don't feel that drive as they get older because you get used to your life in a certain way. For me, I was 31 when I became a mom, and it was a rude awakening that I was not the center of the universe and that I had a child now to think about instead of myself. And I think that as this generation waits longer and longer, you realize, oh, this will be harder for me, and now I am more used to my life like this. I think that's one reason. I think
working moms, there are so many reasons. I get it. You've opined a lot here. Our chat says, though, your Imperial Majesty says it costs too much. Jonathan Stewart says, whatever the reason, this is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And we already have an overpopulated world. So, I mean,
Cookie Thatchick says, and it's expensive. It is expensive. Who would want
it? And if
Derek?
It's a matter of interest, there's Blue Chew, a show sponsor.
That's right. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that this headline is I think it's missing the larger story of this pandemic, which is it is incredibly expensive to have children. And it's very, it's in fact more expensive in America than perhaps anywhere else, you know, to have children. Think about the just the childcare and healthcare costs alone, going to the hospital. You were going through your, you were scanning documents from our hospital visit for our child, one of our children being born like a few weeks ago. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What did you find? It was astonishing. Like, you were scanning your hospital bills.
Yes. Well, the medical cost of having the baby.
Right.
But it was an inflated cost because I had insurance. So they charged $800 for just the epidural, right? And they charged me $300 to have a Tylenol overnight. So, yes, the cost of the medical care for a child is also a concern.
There's communities like the polygamists and Amish that probably aren't affected by this at all.
Yes.
No, I think the Amish, well, the Amish don't watch this show, but I think they're probably fine.
I think a couple do.
I don't know. Do they have absurd healthcare costs? I'm just saying. I just think that it is too expensive, and I think that this article is missing the point.
I don't think they really use the healthcare system as much. I think, you know, in an emergency they can, but most part they do wet nurses still and home births.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the government wants a burgeoning working class, right? And so the child tax credit can be seen as an incentive to have kids because the government will worry about a decline in population. Meanwhile, the rest of us know that the world is overpopulated and the earth cannot handle an increase in population. So I don't know. What are they asking us to think here, right? That we should step it up and have babies for America?
Right. Well, I mean, there's certainly a concern right now in the United States of a population decrease. And we see right now that there's a need for 4 million jobs in the United States, or 3 or 4 million jobs.
To sustain the economy as we want it, not as it should be or not as the planet can sustain it.
Yeah, maybe we should have thought more about our immigration policy. You know, and right? All these Republicans are like, get these immigrants out here. They're taking our jobs. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? Turns out they didn't take your jobs. And now we have an emergency right now where we don't have enough jobs. And we've seen this incredible immigration decline. I was looking at a chart this morning on immigration policy, and it's just, it's, you know, again, these companies that were pushing for it, or actually it wasn't the companies, it was Republicans who were pushing for it specifically, and it's come back to bite them in the ass.
I just feel concerned when there's these headlines that tell us, like, oh, we should be worried that people are not having enough babies. I was reading this book about the Middle Ages and how you know, the witch hunt, some say, came about because it was during the Industrial Revolution and we needed a burgeoning working class. And so any woman who could take charge of her fertility by herbs or whatever, it was called a witch, right? And really? We hunted them. So that, like, and a witch just means wise woman who uses, like, the earth to heal themselves, right? It wasn't necessarily anything to do with the occult. But we hunted these women in order to take away their own fertility choices in order for women to just have masses of amounts of babies to feed into the society, the economy we have right now, right? And so, like, anytime you're told that you're not doing your duty by having enough kids, by the way, I have three, I've done my duty. It's just, it gives me pause, right? Because there's always been this, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, also think about how, you know, during the pandemic, you've actually been incentivized to have kids. It's like all stimulus is going to people with kids.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, of course it's to incentivize. And all these countries right now, they're dealing with a population shrink. You know, Italy, Italy's giving away free, like, little villas in Spain.
They call it España Vacía, which is empty Spain, because there's just not enough people in the places we want them.
Yeah.
Although I would also argue that this study, mostly they must have studied people of higher socioeconomic background who make these choices, right, on purpose, not to have children as a sort of luxury decision, when it seems like a lot of the population doesn't have that luxury, either because of a opposition to birth control or inaccessibility to education and birth control. So I have a lot of questions about it. I do not necessarily think that it is your right and your duty, I mean, to your obligation to have children.
And I just think that it's not that you're just losing interest. You know, I heard about these things called kids, and I'm just not interested. I just don't think it's as cut and dry as this headline wants it out to be. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I think anyway. There's just too many. Could you imagine how that would disrupt Instagram influencers' lives? They wouldn't
what do you
take
mean?
Those nice selfies with their, you know, at the coffee shop and food shops if they had a bunch of kids in
That's
tow.
True.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. You can't go to Fiji and take 30 photos and, you know, standing in front of something with
Or go to Chernobyl and take pictures.
Children are a rude awakening, you know? Like, you're not the center of the world. It was very hard for me to learn that.
still learning it.
Hey.
Sorry. I should mention, hey, you know, we follow up on our Bill Gates story yesterday. Bill Gates, remember, we brought you the story yesterday how he has donated, millions upon millions, maybe billions.
312 million.
Yeah, 312 million to multiple big media corporations so that they, I guess, write fawning coverage of him. Well, there's a breaking story on CNBC. By the way, he donated millions of dollars to NBC, by the way, right? There's a breaking story on Bill Gates this morning. It looks like they're actually finally starting to do some hard journalism covering Bill Gates. Here you go.
Oh, there we go.
Bill Gates has 5 recommendations for your 2021 holiday season. On NBC.
They even put fake snow in the picture. That's awesome.
CNBC.com.
What are the books?
The books.
I want to know.
So now you want to know. This is how they get you, right? What did he pick? He picked, let's see if we can zoom in here. It looks like, I don't know, Maggie something. Maybe I'll scroll down here and see.
Code Breaker, 1,000 Brains.
Clara and the Sun, Project Hail Mary. I actually do want to read that. The Martian was the first one. 1,000 Brains, A New Theory of Intelligence. The Code Breaker by Walter Isaacson. Hamnet. There you go. So, again, not fawning coverage. CNBC doing some hard-hitting coverage of Bill Gates.
Look at Uncle Bill there in his flannel. It's hot in the cold, bringing you some books.
He's just reading books outside, guys. He's just
Wait, isn't that Ghislaine Maxwell's house?
Well, he's over at Epstein's house and having holidays. All right,
I got a sick child because I did do my duty and have a baby. Mm-hmm. I had many, so let's talk about our show sponsor over at Proud Health.
And I love that you want to now move things along. This is hilarious to me after you just opined for 20 minutes about kids.
You were very dismissive about my...
I know, but now you want to move things along.
Well, because you put...
Can we move things along?
You put your opinion in the spreadsheet, like in our show rundown, as if this is the way we're taking it. And I'm like, he's wrong. And then when I counter you're like...
In the spreadsheet, I just put BS, this headline. I put BS, this headline. Horse S. Yeah, this is headline is horse S. All right, let's talk about our show sponsor today. And speaking about terrible healthcare, I mean, that's where our show sponsor comes in today to try to fix.
They are not that.
No, they are the opposite of that, trying to fix our broken healthcare system. And that is the folks at Crowd Health. These guys are amazing. When it comes to healthcare, you have to have you want to get your money's worth, right? You don't want to be overpaying. And you see that $99 right there? That's what you're going to get for your first 6 months for healthcare if you follow our link. We'll get to that in just a second. When you go to joincrowdhealth.com/99, you're going to get 50% off their standard price and a lot less. So what is Crowd Health? They offer a more flexible and affordable healthcare option without the hassle of insurance. So while you're shopping around, don't forget to head to joincrowdhealth.com/99 to find out how Crowd Health can save you 40 to 60% in your healthcare costs each year. And it isn't health insurance. It's a modern day way to pay medical expenses. So what it is it's a community of people who are tired of paying into a broken system. And being in the Crowd Health community can save you hundreds of dollars monthly and put thousands of dollars back into your pocket. And membership it has a monthly subscription. You can start or stop whenever it's convenient for you. They have simple and transparent pricing. It's customized to fit your needs. And you can use their app. It's very, very simple, right on your phone. You can find any doctor nearby or anywhere in the country with a quality ranking score. You can scan your bills, throw them away. It puts it right inside the Crowd Health app right there. And you can push a button to receive virtual care anytime, right over the internet, if you need to speak to a doctor without having to go to a doctor. Crowd Health gets rid of the insurance middleman and passes the savings on to you. So Crowd Health is able to offer amazing pricing because of its community of health conscious members. But they have an amazing offer right now, just for my listeners. Get your first 6 months for just $99 per month. That's a savings of almost 50% off their standard price, and a lot less than one of those crappy high deductible plans. All you need to do is go to the website, joincrowdhealth.com/99. Make sure you put that join in the front of the URL. It's joincrowdhealth.com/99. And you have to enter the code INVEST when you're signing up, and that'll get you this special savings, okay? That's joincrowdhealth.com/99. Use the promo code INVEST. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a community-powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply. So our thanks to CrowdHealth for their support of Morning Invest.
All right. We're going to tell you what's trending on the internet now on Google and YouTube and Twitter and what people are talking about and seeking out.
All right. That's the internet.
The internet.
That's the internet.
Yes. I mean, things could be trending other places.
Like in our house.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Like in our house right now.
Trending in here right now.
What is trending?
What's trending in your house? I'll pizza. Tell you what's trending in my house. Yeah, your dog, pizza. What's trending in our house is we've got a five-year-old who's sick. That's
stomach
trending.
Flu. Stomach is trending flu. In the Morris house. Do not come here. Dugas is trending because of this tweet of a dog with these PJs.
Dugas.
Yeah. And this has prompted other people to share photos of their pets in PJs and other cozy outfits. Do you dress your dog just to go to sleep, or can they wear that around the day? This is my favorite. These two dogs in their snow gear.
Oh, my God.
I want that for Grover Dog.
He must work out. That looks like in Dumb and Dumber. I'm just walking down the... He must work out. Like,
yes, it does. Yeah.
I mean, that is crazy.
How do you
look
even
at the
get...
the little one over there.
Yeah, he's like the little one.
You guys look all warm and my legs are exposed.
How come I didn't get the leggings, guys?
I love that they have the cutout too, so they can lift their leg up and pee on a...
I mean, that's the cutest.
Fire hydrant, you know.
Pee on their cardigan.
Yeah. I love okay, this. So this is the one that started it all. This is Dugas. This is Dugas. Okay.
That's a good name.
Dugas.
Like it. Okay. Dugas. Emma Thompson has been trending because video of her rocking out at an Adele concert over the weekend, and it's great. She enjoyed herself with Wild Abandoned. You should go do that for something you love today.
Would you dance like that if you knew there was just a camera on you the whole time?
I would like to say yes, but probably not. She
I
is.
Love her. Have you guys ever
what's
seen
not to love?
Saving Mr. Banks?
No. Oh, oh the gosh. One with about Miss where she's Mary Poppins?
Yes.
No, have not.
Oh my gosh, you gotta watch that.
Okay, I will.
Emma, she's fantastic.
In my house, she's Professor Trelawney.
From yeah. Harry Potter, yes. Yeah. Adele looks amazing.
Oh, right? Look, there's speaking of, that's Emma Watson.
Yeah, there's Emma
Hermione
Watson.
Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
My spirit animal.
So Adele has been... do you have more Adele news in the news? Because we featured this on the newsletter today.
How she...
Well, her poster was on the side of that building in Austria, so something...
That is true. Yeah. Yes, there's a story about how Adele single-handedly asked Spotify to stop shuffling albums, and they said, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also 60 million streams of her new album that just came out.
Wow. Also, I very much like that gray hair on Emma Thompson. Yeah. I love naturally gray hair.
I liked Adele's album. I listened to it the other night. It was good.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Was that
okay.
Idris Elba?
Probably.
Was it?
Right there?
Yeah, I think it is up on the right.
Yeah.
I mean, she rocked it. That's what's happening. Adele's all the rage these days. Larry is trending because singer Summer Walker tattooed the name Larry on her face to show how much she loves her boyfriend. And people are pointing out that he has her name on his forehead too, but he could always just say, like, I just love the season, Summer. Whereas now she's got Larry on
her
face.
She could easily change that to a Z and make it say lazy, though.
I suppose you can. And also, the two R's look like an N, so it looks kind of like Laney. It's just a very permanent decision, girl. It's a very permanent.
Look at her eyebrow at the top, though. It looks like she thought about doing it on her eyebrow.
That's a separate tattoo. That's
No.
Oh, yeah.
Above her eyebrow.
Yeah, that's like Steven.
It's right. That's
that's someone else.
That says Clifford up on top.
That's actually how Larry will eventually look when
that,
it comes.
Actually,
off.
That looks like how I signed my name, Clayton. So maybe. No, it looks like maybe she thought, okay, we'll try it here. Let's draw it across my eyebrow here. I don't like it there. Let's put it over here out of my eye.
It's a very extreme thing to do. Clayton, I love you, but I will never tattoo your name anywhere on my person.
I would not want you to do that.
Thank you.
I would not want you to do that.
Our love does not necessitate that, but their love.
But she doesn't
does.
Have a problem tattooing her face, so this is not like a big issue for her.
But Twitter has an issue with it. They are just pointing out that this is permanent.
Okay.
Modesto is trending because the city is mentioned in the new Adele song. Now, if you've never been to Modesto, you know it is not a glamorous place. They have Targets and Starbucks and stuff like that, but it's like, mm-hmm. It's a suburb of the San Francisco Bay Area, and people are wondering, when the heck was Adele ever in Modesto? It's like a line. It's like, you broke my heart in Modesto or something. We're like, what? When were you in Modesto? Because it is not a glamorous place. Yeah. You know who's from Modesto, though? Jeremy Renner is actually from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is what they're famous for.
Is what?
I don't know.
Drinking water?
You know, when I think of Modesto, I think of that Yosemite killer because he like dropped the wallets of those ladies that he killed in Modesto or something. Like Modesto, it's just.
So you have good memories.
It's
about
not
Modesto.
Modesto is not. It's not. I'm not gonna talk bad about Modesto because I was raised.
Here's
in
what
the
I
East
think
Bay
of.
Area.
Here's what I think of when I think of Modesto.
What? Oh yeah, that's right. Scott Peterson is from Modesto.
A lot of good people from Modesto. is what we're saying. That's what we're saying. So
yeah, Angel Baby Cars of Satan's home of the exit ramp. Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's not an exciting place, I'll say.
Yeah.
So yeah, why is that in an Adele album? You think of her as this like super fancy lady with really smoky eyes. Like you don't see that in Modesto.
No.
Okay. Urban Dictionary is trending because this is a new trend. Has users looking up their own names on the site. So here I participated. David is the greatest man you'll ever have the privilege to know. This is just a thing. You look up your name on Urban Dictionary and you share it. It's very attractive and very good in bed. Always listens to your desires and needs.
That is actually trending here.
David deserves the world. It's trending.
Are you just making that up?
No, look, it says that. Right
he
there.
Loves animals, especially
go down to the bottom.
Especially ducks.
See the capital very.
Oh, he's very good.
David, did you write this?
Yeah,
you must have. I will never tell.
All right,
but
go to Clayton.
Like ducks. I'll just throw.
It's
that
like
out
the
there.
Men's names are very flattering, and then Natalie, it's like she's a frigid B word. Clayton often doesn't realize that they're amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
but they're amazing.
Unique, kind, great listeners. It also says often have the reputation to be rude and make snarky remarks. I might have written that.
You see how true these are?
Yeah.
See, has a reputation to be rude.
But it does say if you find a Clayton at the very bottom here, if you find a Clayton, hold on tight and don't let go.
Now look at Natalie. It makes no sense, especially my way of spelling Natalie. It's like feelings are fragile. She's gentle.
That's not true.
Natalie's.
How to treat your Natalie. She's very fragile. Be kind and gentle with her.
The reason being, Natalie won't be sure if you mean it or not. It'll haunt her. She obsesses about things.
Why couldn't
people. She's been through a lot.
Why couldn't people put an I? They're like in. Unfair reasoning in Natalie doesn't say anything. That doesn't mean she doesn't care. It means she doesn't want to burden you with that. She'll most likely act as if you did nothing and try to forget the incident. So
she doesn't like offensive jokes. I'm okay with offensive jokes.
No, it doesn't say that. Unless you or Natalie are very close. You probably wouldn't like a stranger to walk up to you and tell you an offensive joke.
I guess.
It also says Natalie loves Modesto, California. I think that's so weird. Why is that in here?
Because this strangest thing that we're all so bored on the internet that we're looking. Have you ever been to the website howmanyofme.com?
No.
Where you put in your first and last name and see how many people exist with that combination.
How many of
that's also a fun thing.
People have you seen the one people where you can find your twin?
No, you don't find an image. It's just like how many, you know, David Jones are in the world. I'm going to go to howmanyofme.com. Let's see.
Well, I'm saying there's a site where you can actually put in your info and your picture, and it finds your doppelgangers.
If oh, really?
Theirs. Yeah. I just watched a documentary about it on, I think I just watched it on YouTube, where they found several sets of twins around the world that were not related at all. And then they did this thing to see how close they were genetically as well.
And they were genetically close?
There were, yeah, there was one, a couple of guys that were very similar that even came up higher percentages than some identical twins.
That's weird.
You should have put in
not
Grover.
Their, not their DNA, but in there.
You should have looked up Grover in the... in the Urban Dictionary.
Did you?
No, I didn't, but I'd like
it'll
to
just
see.
Say he's near or far.
Well, that's everything that's trending on the internet. Oh, thank you everyone for joining us on this Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, one day prior to Thanksgiving. And thanks to everyone. Don't forget to make sure, check out, please go over to our other YouTube channel, youtube.com/Clayton Morris. Check out that channel because I published my altcoin picks from the past 24 hours, and some of them are banging right now, so you don't want to miss that. Check that out.
Plus, people got to see your 80s branding.
Yes, youtube.com/Clayton Morris. And David, where can people find you, my friend?
I am over at youtube.com/overlandgeeks, and I do like overlanding and minimalism, and the other day we went completely political, and we were talking about a bunch of political stuff, so we talk about whatever.
The personal is political.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
It really is.
All right, everyone, we will see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Peace out, everyone.